welcome to another episode of Kiki with Norwood. I am so glad that you are here with us today. Joining us today is Gabrielle Claiborne. She is the CEO and founder of Transformation Journeys Worldwide. And speaking of journeys, we talk about her journey into becoming the woman that she is today, as well as how employers can make their places of work more inclusive for everyone. So without further ado, Gabrielle Claiborne. And we are back on Kiki with Norwood with our guest this week, Gabrielle Claiborne. How are you doing, Gabrielle?
Doing great, Norwood. Thank you for having me.
Yes, so glad to have you on this week. So the question I like to start off every interview with is, what is the first piece of queer culture that you can remember being exposed to, and what effect did it have on you?
Quite honestly, the first exposure to queer culture that I had was in 2010 when I attended my first Pride event here in Atlanta. And it changed my life because it's like, oh my God, it opened my eyes to things that I did not know even existed and were possible for, you know, those of us who were navigating. And at that time, I was definitely in this space of navigating, you know, who I am based off of, you know, who I was created to be. So it was a life-changing and very memorable moment for me.
Wow. So you were kind of almost like thrust into the deep end to go from not having much exposure to, like, you know, queer culture to then going to Atlanta Pride, one of the biggest in the Southeast for sure, and one of the biggest in the country. What was the most memorable thing about that experience? Like, what did you walk away with?
Well, what was so meaningful for me was that I saw people living out their authenticity, and they were doing it in a celebratory way. They were doing it in a visible way, out loud, you know. And I'm the type of person that when I do something, I jump in with both feet, and I'm all in or I'm not. And to experience that energy, to experience the celebratory mood that was happening all around me. And it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just here and there. It was like 4 hours of watching people in parade just being who they were and being proud and owning it. And that just, that gave me kind of an invitation that, you know, maybe, Gabrielle, this is something that you need to look at yourself and say, so what does this mean for you? So it was an invitation that I felt very meaningful for me.
And wow. And, you know, I love hearing you say that, because I think we're kind of in a space now where some people are not seeing the relevance of pride in a post-marriage equality, post this, post that world. But I am a strong believer that pride is just as important now as it ever was. And one of the reasons being that there are people out there of all ages and all walks of life who have not seen and experienced that kind of authenticity and living openly as yourself. And sometimes, like as in your case, the first exposure to that is a pride parade. So I think that, you know, for that reason and many more, it's still very relevant in today's world.
Yeah, absolutely. And matter of fact, it made such an impact on my life, Norwood. I am now a board member for the Atlanta Pride Organization. So, you know, that was not only the beginning of my journey of authenticity, but it was also an invitation of, you know, what can I give back to this organization that was so meaningful for me?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for doing that and being a part, because, again, it's important that wherever we are able to have those parades and those festivals, I think it's important that we continue to do so. Okay. Now, Gabrielle, we've known each other for several years now. We actually met through the Spiritual Living Center of Atlanta, where I've performed several times and attend when I can when I'm in Atlanta. Has spirituality and faith always been a big part of your life?
Absolutely, Norwood. Matter of fact, I'm a fifth generation Pentecostal preacher's kid. And so,
wow.
So needless to say, I grew up in a very conservative, traditional environment. And I mean, that's all I knew for many years. And in fact, you know, growing up in that kind of environment set me on this course of doing the same thing, you know, as far as having a family and raising my family in the same environment. But this environment ended up being one that was kind of, I guess you would say it kind of impacted my ability and my willingness to be honest with who I was, you know, as a transgender woman. So I had to navigate a lot of that. Excuse me. I had to navigate a lot of that as it relates to, you know, when I came out as trans in 2010. So what does this mean? What does my spirituality mean for me now? And that's been one of the most difficult yet rewarding aspects of my journey as a transgender woman.
Yeah. And I can understand why that, you know, would be difficult, because it is difficult for people on the LGBTQ plus spectrum to find a spiritual or religious, whatever they want to call it, community. And so, that's what I love so much about SLCA every time I'm there, is just the amount of love for people of all walks of life and the amount of diversity. Looking out into, the congregation when I'm singing, it's just incredible to see, you know, every sexuality, gender expression, race represented in one place. And it never ceases to amaze me.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I had to get to this place, Norwood, in my spiritual journey. I had to get serious with, you know, God, the universe, whatever you call your higher power. I choose to call that power God. I had to get honest with God and kind of work through what I was taught about God and own who God is to me now. And I realized going through this process that, you know, that God is much bigger than the God of my youth, that, you know, that God can handle this. Mm. God does love me and God does accept me. And as I navigated through that, and as I continue to navigate through that, because it's an ever-evolving journey, I realize, and I've settled into this reality that, you know, God does love me, and I am pleasing to God. So, it was a journey, though.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, that other people who might be, you know, on a journey with regards to their sexuality or their gender identity, that they know that
absolutely
they are loved just as they are. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Now, I want to kind of switch gears a little bit here. You are the co-founder and CEO of Transformation Journeys Worldwide. Can you tell us a little bit about your company and about the work that you do and what brought you to it?
Absolutely. You know, just to kind of give you a little backstory, as transgender people, we experience a very high level of discrimination in the workplace, just because, you know, the traditional workplace really doesn't understand trans and non-binary individuals. So consequently, when I came out, I knew that I was going to be challenged vocationally. You know, what am I going to do in order to not only show up in the world as my authentic self in all these other spaces that I'm showing up in, but how am I going to make that difference in the workplace? And I started a cleaning company a couple of years into my journey and have since transitioned out of that. And all along the way, I've always had this feeling and sense of making a difference in the world and finding what is mine to do. And there was a year and a half during my journey where I saw a life coach. And as I was seeing this life coach really helped me get out of my head and into my heart and to really listen to the language of my heart. And my heart was, you know, I wanted to find my purpose, what is mine to do. And what happened is, over the course of that year and a half seeing the life coach, I realized that as I stepped into my authenticity, as I embraced my truth as a transgender woman, my purpose found me, and that purpose was what I'm now doing with Transformation Journeys Worldwide. So in 2015, my business partner and I co-founded Transformation Journeys Worldwide, which is an inclusion and training consulting firm with a transgender focus. So we travel nationally, even internationally, helping a myriad of organizations better understand trans people and how to incorporate them into all aspects of their organization and respectfully interact with them. And it's been a very rewarding journey because I feel like, you know, every day when I go to work, it doesn't feel like work to me. I love what I do and I do what I love. And this is one of the first times that combination has actually sank in with me. And we're actually starting to see the fruits of our labor when we're having conversations in these types of spaces, some of which are very traditional spaces, where they're actually wanting to be open and to do the right thing, but not knowing how to do that. And we kind of equip them with the steps of how to do that.
Well, that is fantastic work. And I'm so happy to hear that you are doing that and you are thriving doing that and you've found your calling. What are some of the main issues that you are addressing when you go into your typical business that has invited you in, that has sought out your services? What are some of the things that you are helping them to do in regard to trans inclusion in the workplace?
Well, when we look at, so our message is a collaborative, robust, comprehensive message solution, if you will. So we look at all aspects of organization. You know, a lot of some organizations feel like if you have one conversation around this topic, then you're competent. You can effectively communicate with and interact with trans people. But the reality is it's much deeper than that. There's many more layers to creating this inclusive workplace culture, as we call it, for trans and non-binary individuals. So we look at things like, you know, policies. What are the policies, best practices that organizations are doing to ensure that trans and non-binary individuals can show up and be authentic in the workplace? We look at, you know, education. You know, this is very important that not only that you have policies in place, but you have to create educational, intentional programming around this topic to make sure that you're increasing the understanding, you're increasing the awarenesses, you're having courageous conversations around the biases that, you know, you may have around trans and non-binary individuals. We look at facilities. You know, there's, you know, for a couple of years now, we've seen it in the news about how people struggle using the restroom with a trans person and all the backstory that goes with that. But we help organizations understand how to create those inclusive environments, even within their facilities. And then, of course, we kind of finish it up by talking about community engagement, where it's not only what you're doing within the four walls of your organization, but how are you showing up outside of those four walls to send a message to the trans and non-binary community that you see them, that you hear them, and that you're advocating for them, even outside of your organization. So when we go in to create this fully trans-inclusive workplace culture, it is a journey, as is the case in our name, Transformation Journeys. It's not an overnight success. And I think people are starting to see this, that, you know, there are a number of steps that you have to take, best practices that you have to implement within your organization in order to create that inclusive workplace culture.
So with that in mind, what is one thing, small thing, that any business owner could do or start working on now to make their business more inclusive to trans and non-binary employees and or customers?
Well, the first place we start, Norwood, is breaking down our cultural assumptions around gender, because, you know, we're living in a culture that is a binary culture. That is, there's only male and female, right? But the reality is gender is much more diverse than that. So we kind of help individuals start by looking at their own biases around gender. And one such bias or unconscious cultural assumption is that our gender is determined by our external anatomy. But the reality is trans people like myself and non-binary individuals challenge this assumption because we say, wait just a minute, our gender, which is between our ears, who we know ourselves to be, is not defined by our external anatomy, it's defined by who we know ourselves to be, whether it's male, female, combination of both, or perhaps neither. So I guess the first place that I would start, we start with people, is letting them see that gender is a lot more complex, a lot more diverse than their own personal lens. And when they start embracing something that's different from their own experience, they realize that, okay, gender is a whole lot more complex than what I was taught when I was, you know, as being raised as a kid. And to be open to that, that's kind of the first step that anybody has to get to in order to learn how to be an ally and an advocate for trans and non-binary people.
So ultimately, it comes down to starting with education and with broadening your understanding of what gender is and what, you know, it encompasses.
Exactly. And then we go into the respectful interactions, and there's a number of things that you can do to respectfully interact with trans and non-binary people, whether it's in your workplace, spiritual community, in your family circle, or just in your sphere of influence, right?
Right. So would something, respectful, what did you call it? Respectful conversation or?
Respectful interaction. Yeah.
Okay. So would a respectful interaction, would that be things like asking someone their preferred pronoun and then honoring that? Okay. So that's a great thing.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the things that people kind of stumble over sometimes because they, you know, again, we find a lot of people that we work with want to do the right thing, but they don't know how to go about that. So we kind of help them. Mm. We give them techniques and language how to do that. And an easy way to do that, so you're not disrespectful and you're creating that inclusive connection with someone that you're talking about. You just say, hey, my name is Gabrielle and my pronouns are she, her, and hers. How about you? And then they receive that as an invitation to acknowledge that, one, you want to connect with them in a respectful way, and two, that you want to create a meaningful connection, and that you're not placing the burden on them to educate you on the importance of pronouns. So it's a very simple but effective technique in connecting with trans and non-binary people.
I like that. That's a great way to do it, to kind of offer your own pronouns first. So it seems like you are not almost interrogating someone or asking something that might feel personal. You're kind of sharing first and then asking them to share in return. I think that's a great tip.
Absolutely.
So some of our listeners may be starting out on their transition journey, or they might know someone who's going through a transition. What advice or resources could you recommend for them as someone who's just beginning this?
Well, it's funny that you ask me that, Norwood, because quite honestly, I'm finding myself at kind of a unique place in my personal journey right now. And what I've had to learn is that while I have this goal and this aspiration to be this person that I see myself as, having the goal, it's not just about having the goal that is meaningful. It's also embracing the journey. Every day that we step into the world as our authentic self, you know, what are we doing that day to learn, to work through perhaps some past failures that we're struggling with, as far as, you know, not being able to get past. So it's not just aspiring to the goal, but it's embracing the day-to-day journey that sets you up for success for the next day. And when you look at it that way, it allows you to live in the moment with the understanding that you're ultimately heading to a place of full authenticity. So that would be one thing that I would share with anybody that's, whatever your journey is, whatever your truth looks like. It doesn't have to look like, you know, being trans or non-binary. It could be, you know, vocationally. It could be relationally. It could, you know, our truths show up in many different ways.
And that's great advice, to honor the journey and not just the destination, regardless of what that journey is. So kind of springboarding off of that, one question I like to pose to my guests is that if you could turn back time and talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell her?
Yeah. Great question. I think what I would tell her is that those perceived risks that I once saw as blocks or as barriers to embrace my truth pale in comparison to the regrets that I would ultimately feel if I didn't take those courageous steps of authenticity in the direction of my true essence as a human being. So, you know, a lot of times we don't step into our authenticity because of the risk of what we might lose. But I have learned over the course of my journey that those risks are perceived risks, because you never really know how those things are going to play out until you take those first courageous steps in the direction of your authenticity.
Wow, that's powerful. That's very powerful advice for anyone of any age, really. You know, take the risk, step out. It's better to, you know, take a risk now and then than to have regrets later for not doing it.
Well, people often, you know, come up to me and say, "Gabrielle, you're so courageous," and I like to turn that back to them, because I say, you know, I appreciate that that compliment, but the reality is you have as much courage as I have or anyone else has. You know, there's something unique about courage, and that is the first step of courage is always the most difficult. When we take that first step, when we're willing to be open and honest with ourselves and take that first step, then the second, the third, and the fourth become easier. And as we continue to take those courageous steps in the direction of what is ours to do or who we are to be, then we find ourselves making very difficult decisions a little more easier. And it becomes kind of a lifestyle of making courageous decisions. So I would encourage anybody that finds themselves maybe stuck with where they see themselves and versus where they want to go, that you find out what those, you know, first steps look like for you and begin to take those first steps in integrity with who you are.
Well, that's fantastic advice. One question that I'm kind of curious about is, if you were queen of the world for just one day and you had unlimited power and resources, what would you change?
What would I change?
Yeah, what would you change in the world?
This is one thing that I would do. I would give people permission to be themselves 100% without any inhibitions, without any ramifications, because I really feel like we are a world that is looking for ourselves. And I feel like there are a lot of distractions. There are a lot of shiny objects that are keeping us from who we really want to be. So if I could do one thing, it would be to give people permission to take that step that they've always wanted to take in the direction of whatever it is that they're taking the direction, that step toward, in order to experience the fullness of what that looks like for them.
Well, that's great. And, you know, I think it's important to realize that more often than not, we have that permission if we allow ourselves to take it. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
A lot of the time that permission is what we just have to give ourselves. So it's an important thing to remember.
Absolutely.
So before we let you go, I want to play a little round of Love It and Over It with you. So we're each going to share something that we're loving this week and something that we are over. So I will start. So you can have a moment to think of yours. This week, I'm loving an iPhone app called Waking Up, and it's created by Sam Harris, and it's a meditation app. And what I've liked about it is that it's a very clean, simple design, but more importantly, it's been very simple, and it starts you off with, I think it's a 50-day course, to like slowly start meditating. So it starts off very simple, focusing on the breath, and kind of adds onto it or gives you a new perspective on it each day. And it's only about 10 minutes. So I've been finding that helpful as someone who kind of struggles with keeping a consistent meditation schedule. I've really been enjoying that app, and it's free to download. So I'd recommend it to people. It's Waking Up app. So what are you loving this week, Gabrielle?
So, you know, kind of in line with what we've talked about during this, this interview is I had a very big win this week. Unfortunately, I'm not able to share what that win is, but I can share with the audience that this win happened as a result of me staying the course in what I saw myself, doing. There were a number of attempts that I have made along this journey of achieving this win that have been probably a 2 to 3 year journey.
Wow.
And, you know, there were setbacks or perceived setbacks, which I now see them as invitations to, you know, perfect my craft and to hone in my message, if you will. And so consequently, because of that growing journey that I've been on for the last 2 or 3 years, this week, I received that win. So I'm very excited about that. And, you know, so I guess if anybody is looking for encouragement, you know, wherever you find yourself in your life, if you've been working towards something, you know, I've learned to reframe, you know, the steps in that journey that you may perceive as failures as invitations to, okay, so what can I take away from this to learn from this in order to accomplish this goal? So that's what I'm loving this week.
Well, congratulations on that win. I can't wait until we can hear more about it and what that is. I'm sure it's something fantastic. And, you know, that's fantastic advice to, you know, tell people stay the course. But when you do get knocked down, to realize that it's not necessarily a failure. It could be an invitation or an opportunity to learn or to grow or to change direction. Or, you know, there's a reason it happened.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now on to the over it. This week, I am over all of the noise. I feel like myself, and I feel like as society at large, we're constantly being bombarded with, you know, digital noise and all these senseless articles and advertising and all these things pulling for our attention and negativity online. And the kind of the crazy part is that it's hard to pull yourself away from it, even though, you know, it doesn't make you feel good. You still kind of go back to these things. So I'm feeling very over that this week, and I'm going to try and make a conscious effort in the coming days to notice when I'm, you know, when I'm ingesting those things and to try to step away into something that's more positive or more productive, you know, that isn't so draining. So that's my over it this week. What about you?
So I think a lot of us, Norwood, are experiencing that same reality that you just expressed. What I'm over, kind of in along the same line of that, I'm over let me see how I could say this. I'm over this intention that I feel like our world is putting out there that we are an us and them world. Mm. You know, you got to be on one side or the other. And, it, you know, I've experienced this us and them a reality in a number of different ways in my life. And what has helped me navigate through that is that I've started seeing people that may be different or unique from me relative to my own personal experience as just that, as unique, as another unique expression of the human experience. And just because their perspectives, their opinions, their beliefs are different than me, it doesn't mean that I can't hear them, I can't see them, I can't acknowledge them, I can't see them as the human being that they are and give them space in the world to exist. Now, I know that that can get very complicated and many probably disagree with that perspective, but I believe that until we start seeing each other as a part of ourselves and that when we create this us and them reality, we're actually hurting ourselves. Mm. And so I've I've tried being more intentional around, you know, stepping back, taking myself out of the situation and my ego out of the situation, and let my guard down and see and hear and allow that person or those people to be visible in order for them to feel heard and seen. Because at the end of the day, we all just want to feel like we belong. Mm. And one way to belong is to dissolve this us and them reality.
Yeah, because I think people try to find a sense of belonging in being a part of an us group, being a part of whatever mm-hmm. that is, be that a religion or a culture or a political ideology, whatever. They try to find, you know, community and identity and acceptance within that to the exclusion of all others. And it's not a, I think you're totally right that it's not a healthy way for the world to operate. And it's creating a lot of problems for everybody. I think when it becomes an us and them, nobody wins in the end. So we need to work on being more understanding of one another. Like you said, even if we don't agree with or believe in the same things, finding the common ground, finding the common humanity in the other people around us, I think that's a fantastic message for that, you know, that we all need to work on. Absolutely. Well, yeah. Gabrielle, thank you so much for being on Kiki with Norwood. It's been wonderful talking with you. Do you have anything that you would like to plug, any upcoming events or anything that you want our listeners to know about?
There's so much going on in my world right now. I'm going to be in Tampa, Florida, in the middle of August, speaking at an international National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce conference. So very excited about that. And, you know, we have a lot of exciting things coming up toward the end of the year. But I just encourage everyone to embrace and acknowledge who they are and step courageously in the direction of who you see yourself to be. And as you continue to do that, your purpose, what is yours to do, will show up. You will not have to worry about finding it. It will find you.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, Gabrielle. It's been a pleasure. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of Kiki with Norwood. To find out more about Gabrielle and Transformation Journeys worldwide, be sure to check out her website, transformationjourneyswww.com. If you haven't already subscribed, please go ahead and do it on your favorite podcasting app. That way you will not miss an episode. Kiki with Norwood is brought to you, as always, by our producer, Jane Madigan. Thank you, Jane. And if you would like to be on a future episode as a guest, please reach out to Jane. You can find her email in the show notes. Join us next week as we sit down and spill the tea with fitness expert Desiree Nathanson. It's an episode you won't want to miss right here on Kiki with Norwood.